The Bible says. Let's try that. Okay. The Bible says, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Diana. And Lydia sings at Christmas when she comes home in French, and then she gives us Spanish in the summertime. So that's balanced. There we go. The offering basket for Lydia will be at the back the next few weeks if you weren't prepared to give today. And what a blessing to know. When I first got the letter of Lydia's plans, she did say that $4,500 would do it for her time in Santiago, and we do want her to eat while she's down there. And good to hear that $3,500's already come in. That's wonderful. We are looking at a different attribute of God each week, each Sunday morning so far this year. This is our 19th one. And in 1670, John Howe wrote these words, "Holiness is the attribute of attributes." God is holy, and we're going to talk about his holiness this morning. And I've saved the best for last. We've done 19 attributes. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to spend the time reviewing the 19 that we covered by looking at each one about a minute and a half. How about that? Recapping them. But this is the 19th and the final one we'll do. There are others, but we'll move on. Characteristics of God. He is holy. Let's bow our heads in prayer before we get into this most important attribute. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Oh, Father, we thank you that you are holy. Help us as we open your word today to appreciate you anew. Thank you for the 19 Sunday mornings that we've had together to look directly into your word and to grow and to learn about who you really are and what you're really like. Thank you for your holy revelation, the Holy Bible. Thank you, Lord, for being holy. May we worship you. May we appreciate you. May we rededicate ourselves to you and to your holy cause. We thank you for the faith of our fathers. Lord, we thank you for the fathers, the early fathers of our country, who founded this nation on biblical principles, the Ten Commandments still being visible in our Supreme Court, scriptures all over the cornerstones of our government buildings in Washington, D.C., presidents like Washington and Lincoln, who outwardly and boldly proclaimed their faith in you. We thank you for the faith of our fathers. We thank you, Lord, for the fathers in our own families that have gone before us. Whether they're still on earth or in eternity with you, we thank you for them. And Lord, for us men who are still here today, and we never know how long, may we rise up to be filled with your Spirit and to be men of God, as we've been singing today. Help us, Lord, to honor you and to help others around us. As men who want to live holy lives, for you have said to us, be holy as I am holy. And again, as the Lord Jesus himself taught us to pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us, Lord, not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Revelation, and I know that's confusing because in every attribute study, every characteristic of God, every perfection of God we've looked at the last 18 weeks, we've started in the Old Testament, and you know we're about done when we get to the Revelation. Well, we're not about done, but I want you to open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 15. John Howe, in 1670, said, holiness is the attribute of attributes, and God's holiness is yet another characteristic or perfection of his that we cannot completely comprehend. We can just rejoice in how God has revealed it to us to the point we can grasp it. Holiness is the first and foremost attribute of God in the Bible, in quantity and in quality. Of all the things, the wonderful things the Bible tells us that God is, he is holy more times than any other description, any other characteristic, any other attribute. Dr. Merrill Tenney says this, holiness is from the Hebrew kadosh and the Greek agios. These terms are first applied to God himself, and from earliest times, the basic meaning of both kadosh and agios, Old Testament and New Testament, the basic meaning of both, going back to the root of the language, the basic meaning of holy is separateness and purity, twin ideas. The Old Testament and New Testament are overwhelmingly explicit that holiness means the pure nature of God separate from all evil. God is pure and totally separate from all else, and especially from evil. Stephen Charnock said this, a chief emphasis is placed on this perfection of God in our Bibles. God is more often styled holy than he is even almighty. God is set forth by this part of his dignity, by this specific attribute, holiness, more than any other. Again, what does holiness mean? It means unequivocally unique. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is holy. Nobody and nothing like him. Unequivocally unique. Also, he is perfectly pure. Zero imperfections, zero impurity. Someone has written, independently, indescribably, infinitely, intrinsically, immutably, holy. Holiness equals godliness, and godliness equals holiness. The Lord God Almighty is holy more than any other attribute in Scripture. Psalm 22, you are enthroned as the Holy One. Psalm 99, exalt the Lord our God, for he is holy. What does it mean? Pure and unique. The term the Holy One, capital H, capital O, appears hundreds of times in Scripture. God referred to as the Holy One. Revelation 15, 4. Saints in heaven, who are in heaven by their faith. Look at verse 4, Revelation 15, 4. They have already cried out in praise in heaven around the throne, Lord God Almighty, King of the nations, just and true, marvelous and great. Now look at verse 4. Who will not fear you, Lord? By the way, that's where we started this whole series back in January, was with the fear of the Lord. Who will not fear you, Lord, respect you, reverence you, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. And in the future, when the King of Kings returns and sets up his kingdom, the Bible tells us clearly, all will worship the Lord all over the world. We're told in terms of eternity after the judgments that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Lord alone is unique and pure. He is holy. When Jesus was asked about goodness, he said, God alone is good. You alone are holy. Turn to Revelation 4:8. And here you have not only the saints, but you have the heavenly angels, and you have the four living creatures around the throne of God in heaven. And look what they're saying along with the saints. Revelation 4:8. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying. And you know, these are human language descriptions of incredibly glorious servants of God. We can't imagine. And look what the creatures around God's throne say. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders representing the redeemed of man fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who live forever and ever and go on, you are worthy. Holy, holy, holy is the repeated designation and attribute of God in heaven by redeemed men, by angels alike. Way back in Exodus, the Bible says, God is glorious in holiness. God is majestic in holiness. Psalm 110 refers to the splendor of his holiness. What does holy mean? What does holiness mean? It means separate in purity, perfectly pure, unequivocally unique. When we say God is holy, he is pure and cannot be touched by impurity, and God is unique in the universe as the Creator God. The splendor of his holiness. And so the people in heaven, the angels in heaven, worship him holy, holy, holy. Arthur Pink says this, God's power is the opposite of man's weakness. God's wisdom is the opposite of man's foolishness. God's holiness is the opposite of man's sinfulness. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed, holy. And then we continue the prayer Jesus taught us, and we say, forgive us our sins as we forgive the sins of people around us. God is hallowed, holy, and we are sinful. His holiness is the opposite of our sinfulness. I'd like you to turn back to the Gospel of Luke near the beginning of your New Testament. Let's have a little Christmas verse in the summertime. The Christmas trees that decorate the church in November and December are back in the storage room. I walk past them almost every day. They remind me how fast time is going. Christmas is coming. The Christmas story has much to say about the fact that not only is God holy, but God the Son is holy. Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 34. Mary's having a conversation with Gabriel. Remember in Revelation, the angels sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Verse 34, "How will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin?" Verse 35, the angel answered, Gabriel answered, "The Holy Spirit," God's Spirit is holy, "the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. There will be the only virgin birth in history. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." The Holy Spirit is going to enable the Virgin Mary to conceive, and her son will be the Holy One. Do you see that in Luke 1:35? Before Jesus is ever born the first Christmas, he is called the Holy One by the angel who knows what holy is. Because the angels are in heaven with God crying out, "Holy, holy, holy, perfect and pure and unique are you, God, worthy of worship and praise." So Jesus is very God. He is the Holy One, even as his birth is prophesied. Now, I want you to look with me also in Luke at chapter 4, verse 34. The Apostle John tells us that if they had tried to record in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the miracles Jesus did, he said, using hyperbole, he said, "I suppose that the world would not even contain the books." In other words, Jesus did many mighty miracles as the Holy One that aren't even recorded in the Bible, but we're so glad for the ones that are. And if you'll look at verse 33 of Luke chapter 4, "In the synagogue," the Jewish church, "there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. God is pure," that's what holy means. The demons and the devil who chose rebellion and fell and were cast out are impure, the opposite. "An impure spirit. And this demon through this man kept crying out at the top of his voice." And look at verse 34, Luke 4. "The demon is crying out, 'Go away,' to Jesus. 'What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God.'" In Jesus' day, people missed the point. There were people who understood by the grace of God, placed their faith in him by the grace of God. But there were many who never understood who he was. There's many in our day who don't understand who Jesus is. The demons understand. The angels understand. Jesus, the Son of God, very God, the exact representation of God in human form, Hebrews chapter 1. The demon cries out, "You're the Holy One." Remember, holy means unique. We have one God who exists in triunity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We do not have three gods, we have one. Jesus is the Holy One. God the Father is referred to as the Holy One. Jesus is referred to as the Holy One. The Holy Spirit is called the Holy Spirit over and over again. He's also called the Spirit of Holiness. The Spirit of God is the Holy One. One holy, one God. The demon declared the same thing that Gabriel the angel did. And you know, no matter how many men and women don't understand who Jesus is, it doesn't change Jesus. Would you look at Matthew with me, two books earlier in your New Testament? Matthew chapter 8. God is holy, God's Son is holy. I love the story here. You do too. On the Sea of Galilee, Matthew chapter 8. Let's begin at verse 23. Time to cross the lake. The Sea of Galilee, 13 miles north to south, 8 miles wide at its widest point. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Verse 24. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. He had had a busy day of ministry. Verse 25. The disciples went and woke him up saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." Verse 26. Jesus replied, "O ye of little faith, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Why so fearful?" Then Jesus got up in the boat and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was instantly completely calm. Now look at verse 27. An angel's already said Jesus is the Holy One. A demon has said he's the Holy One. Look at what these men say. Verse 27. The men were amazed. Another gospel says they were terrified in Mark. The men were amazed, astounded, terrified, and they asked, "What kind of a man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." What kind of a man is this? I'll tell you what kind of a man this is. This is a holy man. He is unequivocally unique. He is God in the flesh. The wonder of the incarnation. The Bible teaches us fully God and fully man. Capable of dying as man. Capable of overcoming death and rising again as very God. And they said, "What kind of a man is this?" The disciples knew from following him. The wisdom of his words. The power of his miracles. They knew from following him. He was a unique man. What kind of man is this? I'll tell you, holy. He's holy. He's like none other. Not in his origins and not in his destination is he like any other. He is from eternity to eternity, the Holy One. For 33 years, he walked our planet. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's unique. That's what kind of man he is. God is holy. His most quantity and quality attribute in Scripture. God's Son is holy. God's Spirit is holy. God's name is holy. Psalm 30, verse 4, praise his holy name. Psalm 111, 19, holy and awesome is his name. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Why do even people who don't claim to believe in God and don't claim to believe in Jesus curse the name of God and curse the name of Jesus? Why do people take the name of Jesus in vain? Why in the media and the movies is Jesus sworn against all the time? Because holy is his name, powerful is his name. There is power in the name of Jesus. He is holy. And so, unbelievers and rebels curse the name of Jesus. There is power in that name. Even unbelievers recognize that. Charles Charnock again. Holy is the term most fixed to his name. This is the greatest title of honor given to God. Holy, praise his holy name. Holy, what does it mean? He is perfectly pure. He is unequivocally unique. And for the rest of our lives, I hope whenever we sing holy, read holy, hear holy, we remember what it means. Perfectly pure, unequivocally unique, this is God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our Father which art in heaven, holy is thy name. That's what hallowed means. Jesus taught us to pray that way. Holy is thy name. God's work is holy. Psalm 145, the Lord is righteous, pure in all his ways, and holy in all his works, holy in all he does. Psalm 145, 17. God's word is holy. Look at Romans. After Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, if you come on Thursday nights, your Bible should automatically fall open to Romans chapter 1. And verse 2. God the Father is holy. God the Son is holy. God the Spirit is holy. God's name is holy. God's works are holy, all he does. God's word is holy, all he says. We call it a holy Bible. The Bible by far is the best-selling book in the world. By far. In 2016 alone, the Gideon's organization will print and distribute 80 million Bibles in 200 languages around the world in 1 year. The Gideons, since they started way back when, have distributed over 1 billion Bibles in the history of that organization. Our church gives them away at stores and shops and restaurants. It's the best-selling book in the world by far. It's holy, the Holy Bible. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 2. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Yep, the gospel was foretold in the Old Testament that Messiah would come and die, rise again, pay for sin, so that we might place our faith in Christ and be saved from our sin. Holy Scriptures. Now, look at Romans 7:12. God's law, God's Ten Commandments, all of God's standards. Look at Romans 7:12. So then, the law is holy. God's law is holy. And the commandment is holy and righteous and good. There's nothing wrong with God's laws. And to the degree that we follow them by faith, we live a better life. There's nothing wrong with God's law. But as the Bible explains in many places, including Romans, James, and others, Galatians, we can't keep God's holy law perfectly. Therefore, we need a Savior because we have all transgressed and broken and disobeyed God's standards. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Nothing wrong with God's commandments. They're holy. What's wrong is us sinners who break them. We need a Savior. So Jesus came and Jesus said, I have not come to abolish God's law, but to fulfill it. Jesus kept God's law perfectly, in every way tempted like we are, the Bible says, yet without sin. And then after Jesus kept the law, born under the law, born of a woman in the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4, for 33 years after Jesus perfectly kept the law of God, he paid the price for the rest of us who are lawbreakers. And he died in our place. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from our sin. Because we all have broken God's law. All of us but Jesus. God's word is holy. Holy scriptures, holy Bible, holy commandments. Number one, God is holy, the Father. Number two, God's Son is holy. Number three, God's Spirit is holy. Number four, God's name is holy. Number five, God's works are holy. Number six, God's word is holy. Number seven, and finally, God's cross is holy. Turn to the book of Hebrews. You'll find it towards the back of your New Testament. We're not ending in Revelation today, we're ending in Hebrews. As you're turning to Hebrews, I want to remind you that when Jesus hung on the cross, Peter says he bore in his body on the tree our sin. And when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." The whole point of him being there was to bring forgiveness to a fallen human race. He also said in Mark 15:34, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It's because the cross is holy. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and for 3 hours, total darkness, the Bible says, enveloped Jerusalem and the surrounding vicinity. And Jesus, the God-man, the Son of God, the Holy One, hung on that cross. And because God is holy, bearing the sins of the human race, Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" God is holy. And Jesus, bearing the sins of the world, was forsaken. He was forsaken by his disciples who all fled. He was even forsaken by Peter, who said, "I will go with you to death if I have to." And Jesus calmly and lovingly replied to Peter, "Peter, before the sun rises in the morning, you will deny me 3 times. Forsaken by his closest friends, forsaken by God. Why? Because God is holy, and for 3 hours in darkness on that cross, the Son of God, whose shoulders were alone broad enough as very God, bore the sins of the entire human race. That's what the Bible tells me. He did it out of love. He did it out of a desire to forgive. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." God's cross is holy. God forsook his son on that cross according to the divine plan from eternity past. God created man knowing he would fall and rebel. It's an amazing story. What a love story the Holy Bible is. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. God's cross is holy. Look at this. Both the one, the Holy One, who makes people holy, and those who are made holy are of the same family. Get this. Hebrews 2:11. The one, the Holy One, who's able to make unholy people holy and bring them into his family, God's family, is Jesus. Look at what the verse says. Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. Are you kidding me? God is our Father, and our Savior and Lord is not ashamed to have us in His family. The one who makes people holy, that is the Lord, and those who are made holy through faith in Him are in God's family. And Jesus is not ashamed of us. Too often we're ashamed of Him, but He's not ashamed of us as believers. Hebrews 10:10, we're still talking about the cross is holy. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. Remember, Jesus cried out on the cross, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." The mission of paying for sin and providing forgiveness is finished, He said. Look at Hebrews 10:10. "And by that will," God's holy will, remember Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thine be done. If this cup can be removed from me, not my will, but thine be done." By God's holy will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And Jesus said, "It is finished." He had paid the price of sin for those who lived before, for us who come after, in the center of history, in the fullness of time. The Holy One paid with the sacrifice of His body and the bleeding of His blood. He paid for sin. The life is in the blood, the Scripture says. We know that scientifically today. The life-giving nutrients are in the blood. Jesus shed His blood, sacrificed His life for sinners. He did it once for all. And we're made holy through His sacrifice. He said, "It is finished." There's nothing left for us to do except receive and believe. But to as many as receive Him, God gives the power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on the name of Jesus. Now, one last verse, Hebrews 12:14. Point seven, our last point, is God's cross is holy. This is our last verse, Hebrews 12:14. "As God's children, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy." As a child of God, make every effort to live at peace with people and be holy. Paul knew we couldn't be at peace with all people all the time. He said, "As much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Be holy." And then look at the end of verse 14. "Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." God is holy. Jesus is holy. The Spirit of God is holy. The Word of God, the works of God are holy. The name of God is holy. Heaven is holy. The saints and the angels cry out, "Holy, holy, holy." You're not going to see the Lord or be with the Lord if you're not holy. Do you see that in Hebrews 12:14? "Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." But I'm a sinner. Where do I get it? "The wages of my sin is death." That's why I age and die. That's why you age and die physically. "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." 2 Corinthians 5 talks about the great exchange. Jesus, the Holy One, took our sin and offers us His holiness. We are all children of God through faith in Christ, Galatians 3:26. We believe upon Him. We receive His free gift. He said, "It is finished." He paid for our salvation. Jesus bore our sin. Now we get His holiness. And by the way, because Jesus was very God, sin and guilt and death could not overcome Him. The devil could not overcome Him. Jesus rose from the grave bodily on the third day. He arose a victor from the dark domain. Jesus alone, being very God, could conquer sin and guilt and death and hell and the devil. And He offers forgiveness, salvation, and holiness to those who will have it. and we can't earn it. We have to receive it by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Way back, Abraham, Genesis. God declared Abraham righteous in God's sight because of his faith. Genesis 15:6. We're all saved by faith, Old Testament, New Testament alike. And if we don't ask Jesus to forgive our sin and ask him to save us, the Holy One to save us and give us his holy salvation that he paid for on that holy cross, if we don't ask him to do that, then we will not have his holiness and we will not see the Lord in heaven. Hebrews 12:14. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's why Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Nobody gets to God in heaven but by me, the Holy One. Let's bow in prayer, heads bowed, eyes closed. We can call God our Father when we have trusted in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Today, are you holy? Loaded question. I have unholy things in my life to ask the Lord to forgive me for. So do you. But the main transaction that must take place is at some point in time, I must realize that I am not going to get to God in heaven, that holy place, on my own. And I've got to say something like this, and the Lord knows your heart, the words don't matter. I've got to say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. Please save me. Thank you for dying in my place for my sin. I believe you are alive. Come into my life and make me to be the person you want me to be. Help me to be holy like you are holy. The Bible says, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That whoever means every person in this room this morning who is willing to say, Lord Jesus, forgive me, a sinner. I need your holiness so I can get to your heaven. Lord Jesus, help me. This morning, if you prayed that prayer and meant it, the Lord saved you. We are all children of God, Galatians 3:26, through faith in Christ. Lord, we thank you that you are holy and all of the other attributes we've looked at this year. Thank you that you are perfectly pure and unequivocally unique. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, the Holy One. Praise the holy name of the Lord God of Israel and the God of the church. And we pray in Jesus' name, who has made us holy and is not ashamed of us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. This morning, we're going to sing a closing song appropriate for Father's Day. Let's stand together. And I'll be up here at the front. If you'd like to come forward to pray, I'll pray with you. If you'd like to come forward to make sure you're saved, I'd like to talk to you about that. If you need to be water baptized following the Lord in believer's baptism, come forward for that. If you'd like to join the church, whatever, I'll talk to you. I'll pray with you. As we sing this song, feel free to come forward.
Number 40, please.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let the heavens ring. God reigns, let earth be glad.
Our Father, who art in heaven,